Scripture reading for this morning is from Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong, courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we are not our own. In the name of Jesus, please, please open the eyes of our hearts. Amen. All right, well, you, the people who recognize, my name is Ed German, and for those who recognize me, you know my opening monologue by heart by now. I know, you saw Richard up here. You came in, you said, yay, Richard's preaching. And then you kind of glanced over, you said, who's that other guy? And then you said, oh, no, it's him. And then you did not see me leading the service, so as I always say, just get over it. I feel the same way that you do. When I come out here and Richard's not preaching, I'm not in a good way, but then I get over it. I've been asked to do two things, which is really going to scare you. I've been asked to give 5 minutes-ish on who Vicky and I are, who I am, in terms of being a missionary supported by the church, and then to preach a sermon. So I am missionary Ed now, okay? Hi, my name is Ed. I'm a missionary. I want to give you all a clue, not just to who we are, who I am, what we do, but who are we to you? Who are you to us? I would suppose that the majority of you do not know, it's easier, the majority of you do not know the history of Ed and Vicky German in this church. And so I want to say that. We walked into this church 36 and a half years ago. And right back there, just like you walked in, first time I ever met Calvin Thielman, he literally punched me in the stomach. That was the first time I met him. Worked at Montreat College. And I had the honor, among many, of being discipled and mentored by Calvin Thielman. 2 years later, I was offered a job at Columbia Bible College and Seminary, and I did not want to go, and Vicky did not want to go. We liked it here. We loved it here. Calvin was here. Dorothy was here. Our friends were here, but Calvin and Dorothy both told us that they believed it was the Lord's will that we go. That was like the godmother and godfather giving you an offer you couldn't refuse. So this church, in essence, thrust us into ministry 36 and a half years ago. You own me. I mean, really. I'm your ancestor's child. There are a few ancestors still here, I might add. We ministered at Columbia Bible College and Seminary for 18 years, when in the year 2000, the Lord called us into a most phenomenal ministry. Such a phenomenal ministry that the leadership of this church chose to, with your money, support us. And this ministry is called International Students Incorporated, shortened, of course, to ISI, but not ISIS, ISI. And the mission of the mission is to share the love of Jesus with international students studying at our colleges and universities. And most of the people we deal with are graduate students, doctoral students, and postdoctoral students, scholars, and people already in administration. There are a million of these people here now. And you know the drill, because you guys, this church does a great job with international students. So I'm literally preaching to the choir when I tell you this, but you should resonate with me more than most churches. Well, 60% of these people, más o menos, more or less, come from the 1040 window countries most resistant to the gospel. 25% of them come from countries that won't allow a Christian missionary in the country. They're the future leaders of the world. Some of them are the current leaders of the world. They speak English, like I do. Most of them go home. And yet 60-something percent of them never step foot in an American home while they're here in America because no one invited them in. And well over 80% never step foot in a church, a Christian church, an evangelical church, any church, while in America because nobody invited them to come. And ISI, International Students Incorporated, exists to change all that. And so I'm a regional field director. Like, what do you do, Ed? Do you do anything? Yeah, kind of. I'm a regional field. I'm the Southeast and Great Lakes regional field director. That means there are 50-plus missionary types centered around large universities from Wisconsin to Florida, Virginia to Louisiana. We have 50-something, maybe 55 people in there who mobilize, organize people from 5, 6, 7, 8 churches in that area. And so each of those 50 people have 100, 200, 300 volunteers who have a personal relationship with 2 or 3 international students. And in that personal relationship, during the year or two, we share the gospel, the love of Christ, with these leaders of the world, future leaders of the world. And I tell you, I don't know. I speak the truth. I don't know a more effective ministry, because hundreds come to Christ every year. Hundreds. And so that's what it's all about. What do I do? I direct, I serve. I'm a supply line guy. You can't win a war without a supply line. I make sure these salt-of-the-earth people whose water I'm not worthy to carry, these salt-of-the-earth people are in the trenches day in and day out, take the phone calls at 2 in the morning, because it's all relational, folks. I make sure they have what they need. And thanks be to God, you help me to have what I need to give them what they need. And it's really appreciated. So the point I want to make is, the biggest point is not what I do, but who am I? And not who am I, but who am I to you? And who are you to me, and who are you to Vicky and me? That's the point I want to make in my 5 minutes. We walked into this church 36 years ago, just like you, sitting out there just like you. And we had the privilege of being under some great people, including Jim Skidmore and, dare I say, Lloyd Davis. And Calvin and Dorothy, and we met Richard, and Richard was a big man and important person in my nephew's life. We thank God for Calvin and Dorothy. We thank God for Richard and Portia and continuing this love thing. We thank God for the missions committee. We thank God for the session. We thank God for you. You might not recognize us as you, but we are you. So, goodbye, Ed the missionary. Hi, my name is Ed. I'm preaching today. Thank you for the opportunity, John and Richard, for being able to share that, to have some idea who I am or who we are. Vicky's back yonder. All right, I'm going to begin with a true story. But before I begin with a true story, I want to tell you, I was praying this morning. Here I go, off key, off record already. I was praying this morning, and I said, God, you know, I was nervous today. I was more nervous today. You know, you got to be a little nervous. You got to have some energy. But I was more nervous today than usual. I said, God, I was wrong, you know. And I said, God, give me some perspective. Would you give me perspective, please? I don't know why. Just standing in front of a bunch of people today got me real nervous. And so God told me, I already gave you perspective. Don't you remember? And I didn't, but then I remembered. And so here's how I perceive myself today to you. This is what I am today. I am a stepping stone. You know, I hear messages week in, week out. Sometimes I'm the messenger. But, you know, I don't remember the messages. Do you? Don't tell Rich. Rich is not listening. You know him. 3 weeks later, what did Richard preach about? I don't know. but you sure did need it that day. And God has impressed upon me that today I am a stepping stone for somebody or somebodies in this church today. I know I sound like a Baptist, but that's how I perceive this. You know, when you get across the stream, and if like it's really nasty, and you know, you people do it up here all the time, we used to, and you know, you find that stone that you can step on and you get across, and you know, as soon as you leave that stone, you forget that stone. You're looking for the next stone, and then you're looking for the land. Today, I'm a stepping stone. Step on me. God wants me to be a stepping stone for somebody out there today. So now I'm going to begin with a true story. All my stories are true unless I tell you otherwise. Now, there is one person in this congregation who doesn't believe my story. The man's very skeptical. I don't know why. He's known me a long time. He's never believed anything I say fully. His name is Lloyd Davis, but I'm not going to tell you who he is. So wherever you are, Lloyd, I know you're out there somewhere, brother. This is true. Other people get amens, but I get a yeah, right. A few months ago, I was having one of those nights. You ever have one of those nights? You know, the I can't sleep night, I've got to get to sleep, I can't sleep nights. I call it a TWA night. You know, TWA is out of business, Trans World Airlines. I wish my TWA nights would go out of business. I call them the thinking, worried, anxiety nights. You know, once my mind, I even wake up sometimes. You know, I'm confessing here, folks. Confess your sins to one another. Sometimes I wake up, and I know I'm supposed to be worried about something, but I don't remember it. So I stay awake to think about what it is I'm supposed to be worried about. And I finally got it, and then I can't get back to sleep. It is, you know, it's part of the, whatever. You ever had one of those nights? Eyes wide open. I go to the recliner. I have a recliner. That's where I spend my TWA nights. And you have a place where you go? Rhetorical question, Lloyd. Looking for the off switch. Where's the off switch in my brain? Can't find the off switch. 2 a.m. turns into 2:45 to 3:30. Resistance seems futile. All attempts keeping my eyes, getting my eyes to stay closed are overrated. So I go into the sleep isn't that important mode. So I'm going to be tired tomorrow. Once you hit that spot, you usually hit about 4 o'clock, 4:15. Once you hit that spot, there's no turning back. Do not turn the coffee on until 5. Trust me. Does anything like that ever happen to you, or am I the only strange person here? I want to use that story, that true story, Lloyd, to address a couple of, this is what gave birth to this message. That night gave birth to this message. Never gave this message before. You're numero uno. And probably there won't be no numero two-o after this. I want to address two important points today. Points that I really are close to my heart. Number one is doing. The title of this sermon is To Do or Not to Do. You know, we always hear to be or not to be. That is the question. And we all... But there's such a downplay in my experience, as I see things, the word do and obey is out of favor with Christians. Now, I'm not talking about works. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about any of that stuff that I agree with. I am talking about doing what the Bible says to do and how important it is. And I'm also saying, the second point I want to make is, if you do what the Bible says to do, how will that change your life? Will it change your life? So what I want to do is get a perspective on life. How about that in about 30, 35 minutes? A perspective on life. How do you handle life? How do you handle life? And why do you handle it that way? How do you handle, don't ask my wife this question, please, about me, just let it go. But I'm asking you rhetorically, how do you handle little issues in your life? How do you handle annoyances? How do you handle your car breaking down? How do you handle your hot water heater not working? How do you handle little things in life, and why do you handle it that way? How do you handle real hardship, real heartache, real heartache? And why do you handle it that way? If you don't like the answers, then let me be your stepping stone, because you can change. What do we do to either prevent or reverse a TWA night? Well, let's go back to the scripture we read. Because we should do what the Bible says to do. You know what the Bible says to do? The Bible says to do what the Bible says to do. Do what the Bible says to do. That's what the Bible says to do. This book of the law, Joshua 1, 8 and 9, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you, God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And those are familiar verses, are they not? So what in the world do those verses, are they not just war? W-A-R for the Southerners, war? War verses for Joshua? Joshua? What in the world did it have to do with a TWA night? What in the world did it have to do with how you live your life in 2017? Well, these verses are so well known because they're called the principle verses. These are principles that apply right across the board. Then, now, forever. You know, Chris said, trust in the Lord. That applies forever. Joshua, trust in the Lord. Ed, trust in the Lord. So according to those verses, what's the main purpose of meditating on God's word? According to those verses. Is it to win the Scripture Memory Award? Is it to go to Sunday school and actually pull out a verse that your Sunday school teacher doesn't know, which they do to me all the time? Is that why we should meditate on God's word? No. It says it right there. Don't panic. We're actually supposed to do something. To do, is that even a question? To do or not to do? All right, so what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to, what will happen if we actually do what's written in it? All right, if I do what's written in it, what happens? Oh, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Aha! I can do this, health and wealth, name it, claim it. So if I do what the Bible says to do, then I'm going to be rolling the money. My new hymn will be, I'm in the money. Is that what it is? No, maybe, but probably not. The word prosperous, and you know, just take my word for it for the moment. The word prosperous, the main meaning of the word, and I look, you know, pages and pages and pages. Richard knows what I'm talking about. Pages and pages. Looking up this word, prosperous, it basically means then you will have the right perspective. You have the right perspective. You know, if you know God's word and do what it says to do, you will see things so differently. And I need to remind you people of this as God is reminding me of this. You know, you don't get saved once and that's it. You know that. You know you're being called upon to get out of the boat every day. Get out of the boat and walk on water today. And you know that God, you know, I don't know, you know, he knows. The word mainly means perspective. You actually see things the way God wants you to see them. You know, where is it? I heard it. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. You know what? Knowing God's word and doing God's word does for you? It gives you the ability to see in the dark. You can see in the dark. You can see what the darkness is trying to hide. You can see the darkness trying to envelop you. You can see in the dark. I'm getting all excited up here. And when you see things the way God wants you to see them, and when you can see in the dark, then you're going to have true success in life, because you'll be able to see things as they really are, not as they appear to be. They're not that big. And even if there are, we can still take them down. You know, those other spies said, they're big, we can't take them down. Joshua said, they're big, we can take them down. I'm not denying the obstacles and the hardships and the trouble in life, by no means. But I'm telling you, they shall not have dominion over me. Because I believe and I trust in the Lord. You know, seeing things like it's 4 in the morning, I wasn't seeing things right. And kind of reminds me, one of these days I'm going to go. I know it. I got trifocals to boot. Progressives. When I was a kid, I was like really afraid of the ocean. In fact, mountain people should be afraid of the ocean too, because you don't know what you're doing out there. But anyway, I was afraid. I lived in New York. My father would take me to New York City. I'd go to some nasty beach somewhere, and my father would take me out into the nasty water, and I didn't want to be there. But anyway, I was really afraid of the water. And, I mean, I would shake. I don't know how old it was. I was probably 15. I don't know. But I would shake. I was so afraid I was going to drown. I couldn't swim at the time. And so I have no idea how old I was. But I remember my father carrying me out there. And I was like, I was shaking. And I was crying. And I was saying, please don't do this to me. I'm going to die. I don't want to die, Dad. Anyway, he would just get a grip on me and tell me to get a grip on myself. Eddie, don't you call me Eddie. Eddie, he'd say to me, I've got you. Nothing's going to happen to you. Everything's going to be all right. And look, Eddie, you're only in 1 foot of water. And I speak to you in the name of the Lord with the authority of the Lord. I know things can be very dark. I understand. But in the name of the Lord, I tell you, Christians, everything is going to be all right. Stop shaking. Stop trembling. Do not be frightened. He's got you. Know God's word and do it, and you'll have far more godly perspective. Know God's word and do it, and you're going to have far less fear and anxiety. Know God's word and do it, and you're going to have far more courage. The temporal will fade into the eternal. You're going to get knocked down. I get knocked down, I'm still going to have TWA nights. I'm going to let go. But you know, God's not going to condemn me. He's going to come alongside me. He's going to whisper to me. He's going to counsel me. He's going to minister to me. He loves me. And he loves you. Everything's going to be all right. Even when you fail him, everything's going to be all right. To a child, a splinter can be the end of the world, can't it? And some of you women are probably thinking it to my husband, too. But to a child, a splinter, I mean, I've had kids. I was a kid, but I'll throw my own kids under the bus, but no names. I mean, sometimes they got a splinter. I mean, I could not talk them off the ledge. I mean, the splinter, this was it. I mean, that was the end of the world. Nothing. We're not going to enjoy life. We're not going to enjoy the next week. And life is unenjoyable because of that splinter. So to a child, a splinter is the end of the world. But to a mature adult, a splinter, all right, it's an annoyance. It bugs you. It hurts. But you know, if you don't touch it, it will hurt less. You ever think of that? And later on, when we go home, we'll take the splinter out, and it won't hurt anymore. And the perspective on the splinter, and that's why I want to get to, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have perspective. The perspective on the splinter affects how you live in your life, does it not? So if I'm cool with the splinter and I'll get it out later, I live my life, have a good time, I'll preach. Maybe I have a splinter now, I forgot about it. But if this is my whole life, my perspective on the splinter, and I'm telling you, you know, I raise my kids with every dad has their axioms. Some of them are good, some of them are dad axioms. One of my little phrases that I raised the kids on was this. I didn't even know how good it was. The older I get, the better it sounds. Children, people say timing is everything, but perspective beats timing every time. I don't need timing. I don't need timing. I've got God. I don't need timing. And knowing that God will remove the splinters in my life, and I know there's more than splinters, but relatively speaking, and knowing that God cares about these splinters now, and knowing how God wants me to respond to these things is liberating to me. It's empowering to me. I want you to be liberated. I want you to be empowered. I want you to hear the word of God. I want you to do the word of God. I want you to believe the word of God. I want you to get a fresh start January 1st, a true New Year's resolution. Not just to be a hearer of the word, but a doer. That's what I want. I want to be a stepping stone for you. Step on me. It's my pleasure. So let's go back to 3:30 in the morning. Or 4, whatever time we were at. So I had lost perspective on things. All the time in the world wasn't going to help me. Life's issues were overwhelming to me. Yeah, pretty overwhelming. If they're pretty overwhelming. There were giants. Who can overcome these giants? Who can deny they're giants? The issues seem so big, and the situations, frankly, that I'm dealing with in my life seem so hopeless. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't pray. I tried. Yeah, I confess. Preachers try to pray and can't pray. And so finally, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm reading. Nothing's going in until I came upon Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Sorry about the Romans. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. I'm going to read it. I read it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, the eternity, endured the cross, the temporary, despising the shame, and is seated. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Nice verses. But I suddenly had a strange thought. What if I actually did what it said to do? Instead of saying, maybe I should try to memorize that. You know, I've got nothing to do. I've got an hour for the coffee. Why don't I try to memorize it? No. I had a strange thought. Why don't I try to do it? That's different. Why not lay aside these weights and the sin which so clings to me? And set my eyes on Jesus. And so I did. You know, folks, there's darkness in all of our hearts and souls. You got a dark heart. You got a dark soul. So do I. Some of the darkness is from horrific pain, all kinds of pain. Some of the darkness is from horrible shame. I've got a lot to, if I want to dwell, to be ashamed of. Some of the darkness is the sin that clings so closely to me. All kinds of darkness within us. But suddenly I thought, you know, I just need to turn my eyes upon Jesus. And then I said, being the bright guy that I am, isn't that a hymn? Like, set your mind on, that's a hymn. But being who I am, I don't know the words of the hymns. I need them written down or up there. And so I wanted to sing at 4 a.m, turn your eyes upon Jesus, but I didn't know the words. And so I, you know, now my face is glowing from all the apparatus that's, you know, coming on. You know, and so I Googled, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Oh soul. I'm giving testimony now. I'm giving testimony. Oh soul. I started singing. Are you weary and troubled? Yeah. No light in the darkness, you see? No. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But whoever wrote that? And you know that's exactly what happened? Now, I'm not going to say it's going to happen every time. I'm giving testimony. That's exactly what happened. The things of earth grew strangely dim. There's still darkness all around, but I started being able to see in the dark. And I saw how I was forgiven of that sin that clings to me so closely. And I saw how the shame, Jesus took my shame and put it on himself. And I saw Romans 8:28, that God is causing right now all the stuff that I'm worried about. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him. I love him. And those who are called according to his purpose, I'm called according to his purpose. And I believed. And the light came in, and suddenly I didn't want to be singing that song anymore. I want to sing a different song. The light was now shining. And so I said, isn't there a song about that? I said, yeah, there's a song. Da, 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 da. What is that? Shine, Jesus, shine. I didn't know the words. So I looked them up. And I don't know how Vicky sleeps through all this stuff, but she does. So, I mean, I am in another room, and, you know, I'm... You know, Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Lord, I come into your awesome presence from the shadows into your radiance. By the blood, I may enter your brightness. Search me, try me, consume all my darkness. Shine on me. There's nothing like doing what the Word of God says to do. You're going to gain or regain your perspective. Four-minute warning, since I'm skipping one. Life most certainly gets overwhelming at times, folks. You know, I mean, it doesn't do me any good to know Philippians 4:4-9, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Or to say, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Does me no good. Because it's a lamp I gotta light at. It's a flashlight. I gotta push the button. I've got to do something. And what I got to do is what the Bible says to do. And what the Bible says to do is to do what the Bible says to do. It makes more sense the second time, doesn't it? So I want to end with this. End with a couple of stories. I'm finding out as I go around speaking here and there that a lot of people under 40 have never seen a Rocky movie. Kind of freaks me out. Never seen a Rocky movie. And so my illustration is, look, these people don't know what Rocky, Rocky, yo, Adrian, Rocky. Anyway, nevertheless, I will pick out a scene. In Rocky 1, this guy's a fighter, you know, and he's not that good, but, you know, he gets a shot at the championship. All he wants to really do, he knows he's not going to win this particular fight, he just wants to finish the fight. I want to go the distance. And so, I mean, why did everybody who was around during those days like that film, those who liked that film, is because it was a guy who didn't give up. And, you know, so Rocky in the 14th round, he's getting pummeled. And finally, I mean, this guy is like, you know, the makeup guy must have done a great job. But this guy is a mess, and he goes down. And his body is literally convulsing. And his fictitious opponent, Apollo Creed, turns his back on Rocky and starts going like this because he knows the fight's over. And the crowd is going, ah, whatever they're doing. And his own manager is saying to him from the corner, stay down, stay down, stay down. But Rocky, with his quivering body, didn't exactly jump up. He crawled back up, and he got up, and the crowd couldn't believe it. And they started saying, Rocky, Rocky, and he goes to his opponent. Come on, you can't even see. Come on. I love that movie. You may be beaten to a pulp, but it ain't over till it's over, Yogi. It ain't over. Get up. Don't stay down. Get up. Get up. Get up. I love the real live biblical Rocky, and that's Micah 7 and 8. Micah, verses 7 and 8. Micah was down. He got knocked down. He got knocked down by the Lord, among other, but not beside the world, the flesh, and the devil. Michael did some sinning, and he needed some disciplining. And the whole nation needed some disciplining. Micah got knocked down. And people were like making fun of Micah, because Micah was the Lord's man. People make fun of me, because I'm the Lord's man. If I ever, you know, sneeze the wrong way, watch out. And they were making fun of Micah. Micah was down and out. And Micah writes this. But as for me, while he's down and out, but as for me, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Amen, amen, and amen. And so, folks, to do or not to do, no question. Do what the Bible says to do. Stop memorizing, start doing. Pick one verse. Better. I memorized 100 verses this year. I did. Better I knew one and did it. And it's not an either or. But better I knew one verse and did it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lord God, somebody needs to step on this stone that you put out here. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Lord, comfort those who need comforting. Bring out of the darkness those who are in darkness. Lord, while the while our enemy and while darkness thinks they have engulfed us. Lord, it's not true. Lord, give us eyes to see in the darkness. Open the eyes of our heart. We want to see you. In Jesus' name, amen.